You're listening to the Denver Real Estate Investing Podcast, where it's all about helping you grow your Denver real estate portfolio. Here's your host, Chris Lopez.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to another episode on our ADU series. We are doing episode number 8 in our 9-part series. So today we were talking about ADU advocacy, and I've got Jeff Baker here with me. Jeff, good to have you back.
Thanks. Long time no see again.
So jumping into here, I know probably to start off this webinar, since we're talking about advocacy, good news that you were telling me before is that the Blueprint Denver got passed 2 nights ago, was it?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
So explain to me and the audience, I have a very high level understanding of what that is, but what is it and why is it so important?
Yeah. So there is a big planning process going on that's been going on for years within Denver, and they're replacing the old plan. So the old Blueprint Denver was written in 2002, and the overall comprehensive plan 2040 is basically like the parent of all these other plans. There's 5 Denverite plans. So the comprehensive is more of a high level view of where the city's going to be and what it's going to look like in 2020. And a lot of that is talking about equity for all of its citizens. And then you break out into different Denverite plans, and Blueprint Denver is one of them. And that was another one that was voted on and passed, like you said. Blueprint Denver is looking at land use, transportation, and mobility, basically. So that's that part of the comprehensive plan. So it dives deeper into the specifics of that. And the reason that we care about it in the ADU building world is because this is going to mean planning comes before zoning, and this is a planning recommendation to allow ADUs in all of Greater Denver. So this is good because we couldn't do it without the plan. So now the plan says this, the city has to follow the plan. It was voted in. So now we've got to fix the zoning code to make ADUs accessible in all of Denver.
So when you say fix the zoning code, now I'm assuming it's going to kind of move from one department over to the zoning department, and they'll start adapting the rules and setting, because obviously a lot of lots won't probably allow for an ADU. But I'm assuming then they'll start, hey, these lots, here are the setback requirements. All that stuff starts getting filtered out?
Correct. So, for example, there's some places they're in a zoning area that you could build an ADU, but there's restrictions due to like lot size. For example, like a 3,000 square foot lot will exempt you in certain zoning districts where, in Kerr's Park, for example, there's an overlay. So it's an overlay that they put under the zoning code that allows the ADUs to be in there on a 3,000 square foot lot. I'm on a 3,000 square foot lot. I can build one, but if you go across to the highway into the Highlands on 38th, right into that little pocket, you have a 3,000 square foot lot, you can't build it. So it's the same type of lot, same size of lot that I have, but it's not allowed over there. And so this will be, it's going to be pretty much a complete rewrite of the zoning code and to allow these.
And how long does that take?
It's going to take some years.
Okay.
I'd imagine we're not going to see changes put into place. Hopefully we can push them faster than 2 years or whatever, but it'll all be determined. Basically, I think a lot of it will be this advocacy that we're working on and this nonprofit that we're setting up to be an advocate for ADUs and to work directly with the city, because I think that's, there's a disconnect from like the builders to the zoning department, and they don't understand how some of the rules, and this could be general rules, not necessarily for ADU, but how some of the rules affect out in the field. And when there's that disconnect, how do you write good code? So they might write the code, it seems completely logical, but the builders are like, this is just the biggest pain and there's no reason for it. There's other areas where, and this has happened in previous years, where one part of the zoning code says it's okay, but then another part contradicts it because of some other weird rule. And when those glitches are kind of found, citizens have been able to go, and the planning board has been able to go to zoning and get those things changed. So I think it's very important to have the issues that are going to be presented by the people that are actually dealing with the issues, not the people that are writing the issues, if you will, or writing the rules. So
that makes sense. So, I mean, the punchline of Blueprint is it got passed, which is great for ADUs in the big picture. And it's going to really take a couple of years for us to start seeing for that to trickle down to property owners and end user.
Correct. There probably is a better chance to do a spot rezone. So that would be rezoning your property to be to have ADUs allowed. And those can be done. This may make it easier because it may be in a neighborhood that said absolutely no, not. But now that this is coming, it might be easier to get a spot zoning. So if you're chomping at the bit to do it, that might be a possibility for your lot. Or look for a lot that's already zoned for it. Might be a little bit easier. But if you already own it, that's something we could look at doing as a spot rezone. So before we get into the advocacy thing, just let advocacy slides, we'll let you know who ADU for you is. We are a modern carriage house builder. We build ADUs. We also educate, advocate, and build. We are working to push the ADU movement forward through these efforts. And it is our goal and our mission to give homeowners an unexpected and exceptional ADU building experience by being a one-stop shop, putting all the team players together to make this easy for you and hold your hand through the whole process. Like I said before, this is a different developer. It's a homeowner developer that doesn't work in construction typically. So they may not know all of the, they don't know really anything that it takes to do these. So, and we'll talk a little bit more about Blueprint at the end. Why are ADUs needed? So ADUs create a ton of homeowner flexibility. We've discussed this. So this is a little rebrief, but single family dominated cities with a lack of affordable housing and a hot real estate markets. These units infill neighborhoods without changing the character. So some of these people are concerned with changing character of neighborhoods, but the fact that rather than doing big infills or scraping other houses and putting a new modern house into the neighborhood that doesn't necessarily fit in with the character, you can add value to the property and keep a person in their house and being able to build this without scraping or changing to a different type of housing situation.
And I see ADUs playing just that really, really important piece there because I love listening to podcasts, obviously. So I remember this one episode, I think it was a Planet Money podcast from NPR. And they were talking about, from an economic standpoint, and I think it was like the Bay Area in California, so San Francisco, Oakland area, where, you know, real estate prices are just very, very high. And, you know, the two groups, the current homeowners and then a lot of the newer people and some groups that wanted to build higher density properties out there. And they were trying to get things rezoned for, you know, small multi-unit apartment buildings in these, you know, single family home residential neighborhoods. And, I mean, there's, you know, tons of friction points there where ADUs can be that solution where they build the density, but you don't have, cool, that used to be three houses, now it's a three-story apartment building. I think it's just a really cool idea. So I like what you guys are doing.
Yeah, and it doesn't, you know, you don't even know that a lot of these ADUs are there unless you drive through the alleys to see them. I mean, they're kind of hard to find. You're right. So single family zoning is one of the, so Cole Peterson gives three things that will spur ADU development and increase it. So we built 24 in Denver last year. And if we're ever going to help with affordable housing or put a dent in that, we need to build a lot more of these things.
And how many did you build?
So in Denver built, there was 24 ADUs built last year.
24. Okay.
So at that rate, that's not going to take a bite out of affordable housing at all. So we need to increase those. And we have three things that are primed. Political support. We just passed Blueprint Denver as a city. So that shows that there's political support for this. Single family zoning and an affordable housing crisis. The other thing that helps is having a hot real estate market where homeowners have equity built into their house because that allows them the ability to afford to build these and you know, pull cash out of their current property and then start getting some rental income. So they're just great. They really, really, really help on many aspects from affordable to homeowner flexibility to downturns in the economy and kind of protecting yourself and your property and staying on your property. So spread the word if you're out there. Tell your city that you want ADUs and you don't have them in your city and you're not allowing them. Talk to your neighbors and you're going to need to get political support. So these are just kind of a touch, some touching the base on the start of spreading the word here, but there's a lot of advocacy things that we can do. This is a picture from another group that does meetings and does some trainings. So there was that's an actual Denver ADU that they're talking about in that slide. Some of these selling points for advocates to convince their city, convince their neighbors, convince their zoning department and their city council that these are good things. So dropping vacancy rates indicate a housing shortage, and we've had that in Denver for a long time. People are moving back into the cities. We saw, you know, 50 years ago, people were moving out of the cities into the suburbs. We saw families changing from being multi-generational to nuclear families. At that time, we saw housing sizes increase. Now we're seeing housing sizes decrease, especially with the millennial population. A lot of them don't want to have vehicles. They want to live in the city where they work and be able to walk or take transit or ride a bike, ride these scooters or electric skateboards, all these different forms of transportation besides a vehicle. And I think, you know, Denver has a big vision for a reduction in the amount of vehicles on the road, at least single car or single occupant driven vehicles, and have, you know, automated self-driving vehicles and increasing our mobility. I think we touched on RTD last week. RTD is one of the top transportation districts in the country, and we're going to be getting more light rails coming in. And they've been very focused on how transportation is going to look in the next 15 to 20 years. So that's another benefit, is we may not need all these garages on the backs of properties anymore that can be turned into housing units. So this is a contributing factor to the affordable housing crisis in many cities, is that you have in smaller units, you're mixing them in into maybe wealthier, non-attainable neighborhoods. So you're kind of filling in that middle area that's missing right now. The increased densification otherwise on otherwise uninhabited land. So you're not doing infills or taking up land that would be, you know, outdoor space or whatever. You're using uninhabited, or it's already got a garage on it that typically is pretty ugly, or it's being used as storage or whatever the case may be. Multi-generational homes, we're seeing more of these. It's actually 1 in 5. I just read a statistic that came from Cole Peterson. 1 in 5, or actually that might've come from Sightline. 1 in 5 homes are multi-generational. That's higher than I thought. 20% of homes in the United States.
You're saying all, just in general.
In general, are multi-generational. So that actually surprised me. That's pretty high. So,
and that does not mean like parent kids. That means like 3 generations in our one.
Potentially, yeah. It could be potentially parents, kids. It could be grandparents. Like you got your mother-in-law.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
mother-in-law. With you in your mother-in-law suite. I love that. But yeah, we're seeing this come back. Plus just the there's a lot of price effects on this from the care of seniors, from assisted living residences or hospital care or nursing care, any additional care that maybe the family can provide, or you could potentially use your ADU to put in somebody that was caring for the parent. So it's flexibility. These are mortgage helpers, and down the road, as we build more of these, we get more comps, we get financing up to speed. And we start taking in the income as a credit towards your initial purchase of a property. If there's an ADU on there and you can rent it for $1,500 a month or $1,700 a month or whatever it is in Denver, you should be able to count that income towards your loan. So that will help. It keeps people in their homes with increasing property values. So some of these folks have got a lot of equity, but their property taxes have gone up. They're retired. They're on a fixed income. And with the property taxes increasing, with the equity or the price of homes going up, they are getting a crunch. You know, if they're on a fixed income and don't have a way to earn income, but they have a lot of equity in their house, there might be an option to look at refinancing, like we talked about last week. I believe that was last week. Refinancing and pulling cash out, building these, and then getting income and being able to stay in their house or move into the ADU and rent their front house. And they might be actually making more money than they were in the past by building these. So a quarter to one third of all households are nuclear. This is in the United States. So 25 to 33% of housing stock should be single family. But out of 917 cities with 10,000 or more residents, Cole Peterson found that 68% of the United States is zoned single family. And we only have a need for 25 to 33%. So we're zoned wrong everywhere. So rezoning to multi-unit or duplex type zoning, where you can put an ADU or a second unit on the back of the property, will address the actual housing needs that we have right now. Single family zoning does not represent the true housing needs. That's Cole Peterson. That's basically what I just said. It's working best in growing and housing tax cities. So we're a growing city where obviously affordable housing is like the number one thing that all the candidates are talking about. right now, and we are needing a lot of housing. I heard about a year and a half ago that we were short 40,000 apartments in Denver, and we were building 8,000 a year. I don't know how accurate that statistic is, but that shows 5 years to get caught up to the need 2 years ago.
Yeah, I can't recall the exact numbers, but there's a huge, huge gap in what's being built and how much demand there is.
Yeah. So this would help, and this takes off from developers because these are homeowners doing it. So it's slowly just filling in more and more housing that you don't even notice is there. So pushing for change in zoning codes, eliminating exorbitant administrative and permitting fees, and make the rules easy, pilot programs and incentives. So they could incentivize homeowners to do this by reducing, you know, sewer fees or whatever the case may be, reducing the administrative permitting fees to get these things done. These are some of the things that Vancouver, Austin, Texas, Santa Cruz, California, all of California now actually have done in order to increase the amount of ADUs being built. So you got to encourage them, and it has to be done through economics, really. Parking fears, owner occupancy fears. So these are some of the things, but studies have shown that these have not been issues. Parking has not become an issue. Many of these people don't even have vehicles. They're being built in high density areas typically, which have transit nearby. And then there's owner occupancy fears, but there are owner occupancy rules typically in most of the city ordinances and zoning that you have to be an owner occupant to be able to use these. So those fears really haven't come to fruition in the markets that have seen exponential ADU growth. Another thing that people fight about, which is not true, is thinking that developers are going to flip these things. First of all, they're expensive to build. It's a long-term investment, and you're not going to have especially in a market like Denver, you're not going to have a homeowner come in and buy, or an investor come in, build a home that needs renovation, needs to be flipped, and then build an ADU on top of that when they're buying the house for $500,000, and then they're putting a couple $100,000 into renovation, and then they're going to build an ADU on top of that and expect to flip that property for $1 million. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, with those numbers over a year plus holding time, No, it just does not make economical sense.
So I don't believe that is ever going to be an issue, that developers or investors are going to come in and flip these things. Other things you could do is reference success stories. So if you get Cole Peterson's book, he's got all sorts of case studies that will talk about the success in other cities, like Vancouver, Austin, California, Portland, Santa Cruz, California, Washington. So last year, California mandated that every district and every county allow ADUs to be built. And so when they took out the restrictions, look what happened. They had a gigantic spike. And I don't know exactly, I'd have to dig in a little deeper why that 2015 kind of spiked up and then dropped back down. But I imagine that people learned that this was going to get passed in 2015 and 2016, and they realized it's going to get easier. Maybe the costs were reduced to build. And so they said, I'm going to wait until this gets passed. I think that's why you saw that dip from 2015 to 2016.
And let me just kind of talk these numbers here, since a lot of people are listening and can't see this. I mean, so this is a graph going back from 2003 to end of 2017 that shows how many ADU permits were pulled in county of LA. And so for a long time, from 2003 to 2012, it hovered between as low as 4 to about 91. So, I mean, kind of, or up to 100, but usually the, you know, below 100. 2012, 91. 2013, 152. 2014 is 130 permits. Then 234 permits. Then back down to 142. And then after that law got passed, it went up to 537 in the first half of 2017, and then the estimated about 1,200 permits for the second half of 2017. So, I mean, the graph, if you look at it, you know, it's pretty low, it's pretty level, and then it just goes vertical when you hit 2017.
Yeah, and that's because they took a bunch of those restrictions off and they mandated that these get built. And so they've got a housing crisis as well. Nothing's affordable in Los Angeles, so this just makes sense. But Vancouver was kind of the leader. They call them laneway houses. They are the ones that coined the phrase mortgage helper. You know, basically, if you were working in Vancouver and you took a new family that was looking for a house to a property that didn't have a mortgage helper or a laneway house that are known as an ADU on the back of it, they'd probably shoot you because property values are $1.4 to $1.8 million on your entry-level home, and they were not going to buy it without an income property on the back. And so I've heard that time and time again. And this is happening all over the place. Vancouver's extremely expensive. Denver's expensive. LA is expensive. Most of California is expensive. So you're seeing these in areas where you have multiple factors that are pushing these to go forward. But Vancouver's kind of the world leader. Then Portland, Oregon really stepped up. And Cole Peterson, who wrote the Backyard Revolution or Backdoor Revolution, and I use a lot of his information because he took a lot of time doing this. He really pushed for things in Portland to get built. And they're building a lot of ADUs up there now. And it's been great for the city. Austin is another one. They've taken restrictions off. They just rezoned again, make it a little bit easier. And Washington is the newest that just lifted their restrictions. It is probably the most ADU-friendly state in the country now. And some of the stuff that they put in there is pretty incredible. And they did a lot of studies. And they probably talked to Cole to get some of these studies to show that these are not negative negative projects in the neighborhood. So senior agent in place, it's another selling point. You know, affordable or assisted living residences are super expensive. You know, $5,000, $6,000 a month to put somebody into one of those. And they may not be getting the best care. So if they can stay in place, and that's kind of that aging in place is kind of a theme that we've been hearing for the last few years from the baby boomers and all the retiring folks that are retiring at the thousands every single day right now. Extended family, I already mentioned that, multi-generational, 20%. Reduced displacement, allowing seniors to earn income, help with the rising costs if they're in a house that they've been in for a long time with lots of equity and they're on a fixed income and their property taxes keep going up because of the rise in the housing prices. Save on the assisted living residences. ADUs also, and this is the Sightline Institute. This is the article, and this is on our webpage if you want to read the whole article on the resources. So on youradu.com resources page, you can find the Washington article that I'm referencing a lot of this stuff from by the Sightline Institute. But ADUs have save modest older homes. So we have a lot of modest older homes in Denver, a lot of old bungalows, single story, and they're all $500,000. People will want to scrape those, especially like over in the Highlands. We're seeing a lot of this going on where they'll scrape and you're getting these big, modern, square, rectangular rooftop deck homes put in place. They're very, very common in the Highlands. This study has shown that ADUs tend to save the modest homes and prevent replacement by supersized McMansions. So if there's an ADU on the property or the ability to build it, they may not tear the property down and build that instead. So these are literally in the backyard. So NIMBY, if you haven't heard NIMBY, that's not in my backyard. And these are literally in the backyard. So these folks are quick to attack. I do not want this in my backyard. And they cite all sorts of things that really have proven to not be problems in the markets that have legalize these things and are building ADUs. That tends to be the older demographic, not trying to stereotype, but with longtime ownership in a neighborhood and they're afraid of change. This isn't the only issue. They come out on everything and say, no, I don't want that. No, I don't want that. No, I don't want the new light rail station near my house. No, I don't want this, whatever the case may be. So, and then it tends to be upper income households that don't necessarily have a problem with the housing affordability in Denver. And they may not see it as, I don't want income. But you're looking at the younger people that are buying homes now, income on their property is pretty important to many of these folks. So when you don't need the money, why would you want an ADU next to you? So, and then you got the YIMBY, so the yes in my backyard. And then I just heard this the other night for the first time at the city council meeting, LIMBY, which is literally in my backyard. And that's a pro ADU group. So if you try and get these things pushed forward in your city, if there's a pushback or you don't have any of these being built, start with attached, you know, the mother-in-law suite in the basement. Many people are turning their basements into attached, unpermitted ADUs already. People are already doing it, but no one will know because it's in the backyard or it's on, you know, in the basement and they can't see it. There's no front access. So many people are already doing that. So there are probably more attached ADUs than we're aware of being built because people are just converting them without permits and whatnot. They already significantly outnumber the number of permitted ADUs. So I'll start there with attached. That's an easier thing to push through if you're trying to get this as your city. Get attached ADUs passed and approved, and then chip away to try and get the detached. And then allow conversions. So maybe a garage conversion. Maybe you can't do a new build yet, but you can do a conversion. And then introduce the detached new build after you've got some data and some time showing that these don't hurt the neighborhood. So talk a little bit more about Blueprint Denver. That's a picture of many of the folks speaking the other night. So like I said, there was 58 members of the public that came out and spoke, and most of them were pro ADU.
Yeah, so you said 58 speakers?
58 speakers.
And these are just citizens, homeowners, right?
Not, correct.
Okay. What was the rough percentage of people that were pro versus anti-ADU?
I want to say it was like 80-20. 80
wow,
pro,
okay.
20%
good.
Against. And it was mainly in one particular neighborhood. The West Wash Park neighborhood is not wanting ADUs.
They were the anti ones.
They were the anti ones.
Okay, so they were the significant chunk of the anti ADUs.
Yeah, and I think they had three members there. So
okay, and then the rest, was it just kind of all the pros that just spread out across the rest of Denver, or
yeah, kind of spread out
like
across
a couple
the rest
neighbors
of Denver,
really stand out? Do you know
people that have been either involved some way in the planning process or gone to a lot of these meetings? A lot of them were involved people. That had, you know, because they did a lot of outreach on these and went into the neighborhoods and did meetings and took feedback and put multiple drafts out there. And so many of these people were active in that for 3 years, and they are frustrated that there's a potential that they were going to delay it for political reasons. So I passed Monday night by a 10-2 vote. A couple of council members voted against it. One of them is a Southwest neighborhood that doesn't have the same situation necessarily going on. They're more of a suburbia than a downtown area.
When you say Southwest, you mean like Ruby Hill type Southwest, or like?
I'd have to look at what his district is, but yeah, he represents Southwest Denver. So yeah, you're probably correct. Ruby Hill is in his district. So yeah, there was a lot of discussion. I mean, it went to 11 o'clock at night, but yeah, it was 80% for this, I would say, out of the speakers. So what now? I mean, this is great. This passed. Great. Now what are we going to do? Well, now the work really, really starts to, the planning is passed, but now we need the actual rules and zoning to change. So this is where we're going to step up to really start working directly with the city and all the people that are implementing zoning changes and pushing for zoning changes, and get all these collaborative people together to brainstorm on the best way to move forward. The last thing we want is the city to do it without any experience or touching base with anybody that's building these and seeing what the hurdles are that we're going through, because that's just a disconnect. They're not going to be able to mold the laws to be in anybody's benefit. And that's the last thing. Some of these cities have passed ADU rules, like Englewood has, for example, but there's a lot of lots in Englewood that probably are not going to be able to be zoned or be able to allow to have ADUs in that zone. So even though as a city they've passed it and they really are encouraging it, there's still some errors in their zoning code that's going to make it difficult. So we need to be directly involved, and that's our plan. We're going to be directly involved through our ADU association. We hope to have members of the city that are part of that and be in all these meetings and discussions. So when the new zoning code comes out, it is super easy for homeowners to build these. We do meetup groups. We've mentioned on all these. So join our meetup group. It's Backyard Property Investors. Colorado ADU, you can find that on the meetup page. And we're going to do our next one on June 11th and tour an ADU afterwards. We're looking for a location still. So if you're listening in Arvada and you've got a quiet restaurant you want to let us come into, reach out to me. Quiet is the key. We've found some locations that we thought were going to be quiet, and they've ended up getting a little bit loud on our past meetups. So we want to be able to have everybody here. And once again, we'll be touring an ADU afterwards. So you'll be able to see one and talk to the homeowner, see how this has changed their life, and how exciting this is. But right now we've got lots of work to do to change zoning and make this easier for everybody.
And then I know, just for clarification out there, ADU for you is not the advocacy group, right? That is your group
building
for
group,
building
yep.
and designing and getting all done, right?
And we advocate as well.
Okay.
But yes, but the advocacy group is going to be called ADU Association.
Okay, And so that'll be a separate entity, nonprofit. Okay.
Correct.
And I imagine, I know I do things, I have a tendency to kind of cross-mingle a lot of words. I imagine there'll be a ton of crossover between your two entities.
Yeah, you know, okay. We'll definitely be, you know, we'll be a member. ADU for You will definitely be a member of the ADU Association. The idea is that builders can become members for a fee, and they're kind of run through our you know, standards to make sure that they're good builders and they've got experience doing this. So it will be a resource really for homeowners. And we hopefully the board of directors for that will have members of the city. I don't know if they're going to be allowed to do that, but it would be great. I mean, potentially you could be on that board of directors to be given feedback on what you're seeing in the, but if we can have that big mix of architects and builders and advocates and people that work with the city and planning to, and put all of that into one room, and just hammer out what is the best zoning code moving forward and get that implemented. And it might actually happen faster because rather than waiting for the city to figure out, maybe we'll figure it out for them. So that would be the goal. So that will be ADU Association. We do have a webpage for that, but it's not up yet, but it'll be aduinfo.org or denveraduinfo.org or something along those lines. So we own a bunch of domain names that we'll choose one of them for that. And that's going to have, you know, we'll be in cooperation with many other builders. So there'll be other ADU builders that'll be a part of that. We're already in discussions with other builders. And we realize that this is a way to grow the market and to help homeowners. And so it's going to be beneficial for everybody. It's not about who's going to get the actual jobs, you know. Obviously, we all want jobs, but there'll be plenty of that if we can get these laws changed. So...
cool. Awesome. Well, Jeff, I appreciate you putting this together, and I really appreciate you you guys doing the advocacy, because, I mean, that is gotta be a labor of love. And a lot of times that work goes, underappreciated, because there's a lot of stuff behind the scenes and takes months to years in the making. And I know a lot of times it's an uphill battle. So I appreciate it, and a lot of our listeners do as well. So thank you.
Thank you. And maybe we'll do another, when we get that association up, maybe we'll bring some of the board members in and do another webinar to talk about.
That'd be great exactly to do a round table. Yeah, I think we'd like to definitely do that, just some ongoing content, because like I said, a ton of investors, a ton of people out there want to do this. It's still, you know, getting all the pieces in place.
Yep.
Cool. All right, Jeff. Well, thank you so much. And everyone, thank you for listening.
Thanks so much.